Often, whether called upon to or not, I give advice to young people on how to date. I tell young ladies, for example, not to judge a man by his car, because you're not going to end up living in or with the car, but with the guy who drives it. I tell men, when they take women to a restaurant, to seat themselves facing the wall so that they will look at her and not at everybody who walks in the restaurant. But my most important piece of dating advice I give to men and women alike, I say, don't only pay attention to how he treats you or how she treats you. Pay attention to how he treats the waitress, the busboy, the person who parks his car. Because that's where you will see his moral character. You want to know how you treat people you don't have to treat well. Earlier this year, Rabbi Reuven Kimmelman joined us for a scholar in residence, and he told me a beautiful story about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Senator Pat Moynihan went to see the rabbi in the course of a re-election campaign, visiting a religious leader, and he told him that he would like the support of his community and so on. And before he was about to leave, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to him, "Senator, there's something I'd like from you as well." He was used to this. And he said, "Yes, Rabbi, what can I do for you?" And the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, "You know, there is a community, it's a good community, they're a law-abiding community, they care about their families, they care about values, but I don't think they know the American system very well, so I don't think they're getting everything they deserve. I want you to watch out for the Chinese." Moynihan said he was tremendously impressed, because the Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't need the Chinese. Not for his position, not for his power, not for his life, not for his authority. He only needed them for expressions of his goodness. The story is told that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter saw a maid carrying buckets of water on her shoulders so that he and his disciples could wash up before dinner. And he performed the ritual with a tiny little sprinkling of water. And when they asked him why he was so parsimonious with the water, why he used so little, he said, "You must not be generous on the backs of other people. You cannot do a mitzvah on their shoulders. Gerim hayitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. We were strangers in the land of Egypt." But here's an interesting thing. We're told to imagine what it's like to be a stranger. But this morning, I want you to imagine what it was like to be an Egyptian. How would you have treated the Israelite in your midst? Would you have been cruel? Because you could be. Or would you have been kind, even though you didn't need to? This is the core of our tradition. As Hermann Cohen beautifully said, in the idea of the stranger was Judaism born. The stranger is mentioned 36 times in the Torah. Again and again, you were strangers, take care of the stranger, remember the stranger, understand the position of the stranger. What it is to be alone, to be friendless, to be scared. The sense of being on a tightrope in the world, and you have to balance carefully, and you don't control the way the wind blows. So let me ask you, last night at your Seder, you were an Egyptian because you were served. How did you treat the people who served you? How how late did you keep the housekeeper? Or the nanny? Or the person who worked for you? And when you finally let them go home, did you thank them and compensate them adequately? Or did you not? Because after all, you didn't have to. You were an Egyptian. How many of us pay the people who work for us less than minimum wage because, after all, they're illegal and we're Egyptians? We can do what we like. If we're angry, we can speak abusively to them. If we're annoyed, we can be dismissive with them. How many people treat those who work for us the way our tradition says, because they are the stranger in our midst? And Gerim Hayitem Be'eretz Mitzrayim. We were strangers in Egypt. We're supposed to know what it's like to be in someone else's home and subject to their customs and their laws and their moods. And if you had a Seder on the backs of other people with unkindness, with orders, without gentleness, then you had your Seder as an Egyptian and not as a Jew. Then last night you were not an Israelite leaving Egypt. Last night you were just someone in charge. I have asked around in preparation for this morning. I've spoken to housekeepers, to nannies, to people who run placement organizations. And I have heard stories of people who work in our homes, in Jewish homes, being hit, being abused, having their wages garnished from them or not given to them, which is specifically against the laws of the Torah. I heard a case where an employer took away the passport of an employee so that she couldn't leave the country. When your children are sick and you work, what do? If you can't get help, you call in and you say, I can't come in today, I have a sick child. What do when your nanny's child is sick? Does the care of your children take precedence over the care of her children? Because after all, you've got the power. We can make the rules. We know this. We know it because of our history and because the people in our community are good people and compassionate people. We know that being rich doesn't make you good. Being rich just makes you rich. And in some ways, it's harder. Because when you have wealth, you have latitude to be unkind. You can be unkind without consequences. You can speak to people who work for you in ways that you would never speak to somebody for whom you worked. And they can't do anything about it. But to do so stains your soul and dishonors God. And when you do it in your home, al achat kama v'kama, it's that much worse. In 1966, an 11-year-old black boy with his parents and family moved to a white neighborhood in Washington. Sitting with his brothers and sisters on the front step of the house, he waited to see how they would be greeted. They were not greeted. Passersby looked at them, and nobody gave them a smile or glance of recognition. All the fearful stories this boy had heard about whites treating blacks were coming true. He thought, I knew we wouldn't be welcome here. I knew we wouldn't be liked here. I knew I wouldn't have friends here. I should never have come here. As he was thinking those thoughts, a white woman came coming home from work, passed by on the other side of the road. She greeted him with a broad smile and said, welcome. She disappeared into the house and emerged minutes later with a tray laden with drinks and cream cheese and jelly sandwiches, which she brought to the children and made them feel at home. That moment, the young man later wrote, changed his life. It gave him a sense of belonging where there was none before. It made him realize that some people could be blind to racial and ethnic and class differences. Over the years, he learned to admire much about the woman across the street, but that moment was the moment that strangers became friends. The young man was named Stephen Carter. He's now a law professor at Yale University, and he wrote this story in his book called Civility. The name of the woman was Sarah Kestenbaum, and she was a religious Jew. What she did is what our tradition calls a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name. And to do the opposite, to dishonor someone, is a Chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. We know that this is true. That is, the people who work in our homes, in our yards, on our streets, their children, their grandchildren, will be the professors, the teachers, the doctors, the mayors. And what they think of us will have to do with how we treated their parents, their grandparents, their cousins, their uncles, their friends. It is a Chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name, to be unkind to somebody who is in your power. It is a Kiddush Hashem. It is a sanctification of God's name to send that person home with thanks, with food, with appreciation, to take care of them, to watch out for them, to cross the street with sandwiches so that 30 years later, an African-American professor at an Ivy League university will say, I remember the Jewish woman in my neighborhood who acted with decency and civility. This is the Festival of Freedom. This is when we remember what it is not to have a choice. And when we are supposed to fight for other people to have choices in this world. And how ironic and tragic and cruel it is if we're the ones who snatch the choice away. When you invite someone into your home, whether you invite them in as a guest or as a worker, you treat them as someone who has entered your home. With kindness, with decency, with goodness, and even with love. Gerim hayitem be'eretz nochriya. We were strangers in a strange land, not once, not twice, but throughout our history, hundreds and thousands of times. We met sometimes with cruelty, and we met sometimes with kindness, and we remember those who were kind to us. Others will remember if we were kind to them on this Passover. Don't only observe the ritual, embody the spirit. When you say, everyone who is hungry, come and eat, and you open the door, open your heart as well to those who are already found in our community and in our homes. Show them that the Talmud is right when it said, that B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, are Rachamim B'nai Rachamim, merciful people and the children of merciful people. And anyone who is not merciful does not deserve the name of Israel. This year, let us deserve the name of Israel and be worthy of the blessings of God. Chag Sameach.